Well, it's my distinct pleasure this evening to call this president's meeting to order. We are privileged to have our immediate past president presiding here. She is going to be able to tell us, I think, some very interesting things and those that she's working with. So without any further boring elaboration, because I want to just enjoy the dinner myself, I turn this dinner over to our illustrious past president, Catherine Skivers.
Hi there. Those of you who know me know that sometimes when I'm involved in a program, what the agenda says isn't necessarily what happens. And I'm telling you what, we're going to have a change. I read in there where it said we're having a panel. Well, have you all ever been to a surprise panel? Well, you're at one now. And the surprise is I'm the moderator, and some of you are going to be the panel. And wouldn't it be fun to find out who you are? I want to begin by just telling you, since the salads aren't here, I don't see them. I'll gab. I'm good at that, I think. I thought you might be interested in knowing that we have six presidents of the California Council who are currently living, and I thought you might like to know who they are. Russell Kletzing, who took over in 1959 when the split came. I'm not sure how long he was there. The next one was Bob Acosta, who was there from, I believe, to 78 to 93. And then we had John Lopez, who I'm so sorry can't be here tonight. And then Mitch Pomerantz came in. And then the first woman in 63 years that these boys ever elected came in. That was me. I hope they don't wait 63 years to get another one. And then, of course, the current president, who is serving 8 years and will finish next year, Jeff Tom. Jeff sounds like he's happy he's going to be finishing, but you know what? I like that he's president, but guess what? When he finishes, I can go yay, because I'll be through as past president. And let me tell you, folks, I have served on the California Council of Wine Board of Directors in one place or another since 1989. And I'm looking forward to next year, let me tell you. So now we have some salads, and I would like to ask you two or three questions, and then I would all of you, give me a verbal answer. Please don't hold up your hand. I don't see any better than I ever did. So how many of you here are presidents of a chapter? How many of you are here are delegates? How many of you here are other? Looks like we got a good crowd no matter what we do. Well, I brought that up because this is your organization. Whatever capacity you're in here, this is your council. And so what we want to find out tonight and let you know some things that have happened, but we want to find out, what is it that you want to do with this council? What is the presidents and delegates do you want to do? Tonight we're going to talk about some of the chapters that were and see how many of them are still here. And for right now, why don't we have dinner? Everybody eat. I'm afraid we're not going to get everything done we want to get done, so I'm going to start this way. One of the first chapters on in the 1934, of the 16 people who were there who were blind, many of them were representatives of chapters. And I would like to ask, is there someone here from the San Diego Braille Club? And Jacqueline, are you here? Okay. I'm going to ask somebody to bring a mic over to you, because I want to ask you a question. Is it true that you have your charter to your chapter?
That is true. We have it in the safety deposit box.
I want to congratulate them. We've been asking who has them. That's wonderful, Jackie. And that Braille Club of yours, Yvonne Ike was at one time president of that chapter, and somebody passed away and left them an aviary to the chapter. Well, nobody really wanted to hurt a birds, and so what happened was they gave them to Yvonne, who adored them. And she brought them home, and I visited there, and George Fogarty, Bob Campbell, and I went down, and it seems that she didn't mind letting some of them fly around in the house, which didn't do well with me. And so we were there, and she had this parrot, and Yvonne, for any of you who knew her, had a very distinctive, very unusual speaking voice. She sounded something like this, but I can't do it. Anyway, she had this parrot named George. And that George sounded exactly like Yvonne. Yeah. So I was visiting, and she said, "Oh, go to the door. I don't know who that is." Anyway, I went, and there was this salesman. And he started giving me a big pitch of what a thing he had and what a good deal it was. And Yvonne would say from the back room, "Tell him to go away." And he'd say, "It's a good deal." And in her perfect voice, this parrot would shout, "It's a good deal. It's a good deal."
She said they have a 50-year-old trust, and that's how they operate.
They have a what?
50-year-old trust that they operate.
Also, the San Diego Braille Club, I'm told, has a 50-year trust, and that helps you operate, Jackie?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Don't we all wish we had that?
What's the date on the charter?
1934. They are the original one. Does anyone in the room know your chapter president? Do any of you have your charter? I haven't been able to find anybody else but Jackie that has. Who does?
Yes, let me get it.
Who does?
Yosemite Gateway.
Yosemite Gateway.
Well, that's wonderful. one more story. We had a meeting. This has happened to more present than one, but we had a woman who demanded that we have an hour presentation by some a doctor who was going to talk about some eye disease or other. So we had to change the entire program, and we worked it around. This was for the Associated Blind of California. This was a group that had broken away. And so this man, I received a Braille letter with his credentials, and I'm terrible at making announcements, and they knew it. And so they sent me this big, long thing, and I read it. One fascinating bio. You never heard anything like it. And I was hoping I never did again. But anyway, we read the whole thing, and I introduced this gentleman. And he wasn't there. So then I went to look for the two people that demanded we have him, this couple. And imagine my surprise. They hadn't come to the convention. So that... this can happen to presidents when you make an announcement, make an introduction, and I tell you, we definitely proved we were an organization of the blind that day. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let's do something. Normally we go around and we say who we are and where we're from, but thank God we've got a beautiful turnout tonight. And if we do that, we won't have time to do anything else. So I have this real idea here. When I say go, everybody say your name and where you're from. Go. My, you're a great group. One of the first chapters that came into being was the Alameda County Club of the Adult Blind. And the Alameda County Club of Adult Blind had for decades a president, and his name was Frank Sova. And Frank was 91 years old on the 26th of May of this year. And we have in our Hall of Fame, he's in there, And he passed away just a few weeks ago. And what we have is a platelet for every person who's in the Hall of Fame. And it has the date, the year that you were born and the year that you die. So now we'll have to send his platelet in so we have that transcribed. And I was looking down the list of the Hall of Fame the other night. And I found that Elmer Chapson, Miss Downing, when she killed me if she thought I couldn't think of her name for a minute, and I all have the first starting date. It's 1925. If your math's any good, you know something you probably didn't know before. But anyway, the interesting thing I also noticed in scanning this list, we also all three don't have a closing date. And I was listening to a program the other day that had a lot of people who were 100 years old, and I was so taken with how sharp they were and how much they knew and what sense of humor they had and how they handled their life and having, in many, most cases, outlived kids and family and everything. And this reporter was asking all kinds of questions, and he finally asked this lady a question, and it really irritated me. He said, "Ma'am, if you," or didn't think he'd call her ma'am, he said by her name, he said, "If you should pass away, what would you put on your epitaph if you could choose it?" And I thought, oh, what a crumb to ask such a question. But she wasn't bothered at all. She waited just a little bit, and she said, "Well, let me think." She said, "I guess I'd put, here lies somebody that doesn't want to be here." And after last night, when I forgot the first time in my life two reports I was supposed to give the board on mine, I think that was, she sometimes forgot. But in any case, I really enjoyed that. On the Alameda County Club of Adult Blind, they're still going. They've always retained their name. And one of the things that Frank Silva did, he helped establish the East Bay Center for the Blind. And that organization is in Berkeley. It's run totally by blind people. They do not have funds from any state agency. They're handling it themselves. Jewel McGinnis was a member, and I think she helped them somewhat financially, but they've gone for years without that. And do we have someone here from Alameda County Club? Who's here? Are there more than one of you?
Yeah, there's three of us.
I think this mic better come see you. There's a mic coming to see you. So tell us your names, and if you have a position in the club, tell us, okay?
Daryl Wilkerson from San Pablo, California.
Daryl! Preston Moses from San Pablo, California.
Peter Carpo from San Pablo, California, and president of the Alameda chapter.
Yeah.
I'm Pamela Loveland, former president of Alameda County chapter, now living in Oakdale, California.
Wow. I'm Linda Amati, and I am actually still a member of Alameda County chapter, even though I am now living in Oakdale, California. And just happy to be here in Fresno because I went to school here for 6 years at Fresno State.
You know, they've almost got enough people here they could have a little chapter meeting if they felt like it. Nice to see you all. Is there anyone here from Long Beach? Who is from Long Beach?
Robert Wendt from Long Beach.
Welcome. Yours was a chapter that also was on hand in 1934 and had a representative at the Elmwood meeting, as did Alameda County. And is there anyone here from Bakersfield?
Yes.
Well, Bakersfield was there in 1934. I'm glad to see you all held out to 2009. Could we hear from those people?
Brandy Morgan, vice president of Bakersfield.
Diane Deutsch from Tehachapi.
Penny Valdovinos, the president of Greater Bakersfield.
Is that all of you, or is there more? Well, welcome. It's so nice to see so many people from so many different places. We had a habit in the old days of, in days gone by, working very hard. When Dr. Perry was in charge of the California Council, your time between the time the gavel went down and you left the meeting till the next time it came down, which wasn't sometimes very long afterwards, you had to be there. There was no not being late. It wasn't, you know, there was no question about where were you. When there was a business meeting, you were in there. You were in the room. Now, we also had this thing, though, that your time afterwards, you could just be very active socially. And one of Doctor's favorite social things was to adjourn to the bar, as he called it. Yeah. And I don't know where that's where we got it, but most presidents I've known since do. Jeff doesn't go out there very much, but most of us spend our time there. Doctor's favorite was Old Taylor, and he liked to have a drink. And one time we took the red eye, Marcelino. Some of you must remember Muzzy, and Doctor and Lucille Strilo, George Fogarty, Bob Campbell, and I took the red eye to an Omaha convention. And we arrived at 6 o'clock in the morning. We left at 11 at night. And at that time, that's how long it took to get from here to Omaha. You left 11 at night, and you got down there in the morning. And, of course, everyone was exhausted. I had the good sense the morning before to call in and make my reservation so we'd have a room. So here all six of us took all those six luggages up there and deposited them in my room. And then we decided we'd have breakfast. Now, by this time, Doctor was about 84. And we were in our room, and I said, we were going to go to breakfast. And I said, Doctor, I said, how would you like a shot of Old Taylor? And he said, well, that would be delightful, but the bar isn't opened. And I said, yeah, but Doctor, there's some over here in my briefcase. So we got it out, and everybody had a little swig and went on down to breakfast. And to my amazement, he sat down and had steak and eggs and strawberries. And I'll never forget it. I couldn't have eaten that, and I was a lot younger in those days. Anyway, we were sitting there, and his hearing had failed a lot, and he was talking pretty loud. And so the waitress tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, are you Kathy? And I said, yeah. She says, Dr. Tenbrook wants you to tell Dr. Perry to quiet down. And I said, well, young lady, I said, I hate to have you running back and forth, but you go tell the gentleman that if he wants Dr. Quiet down, come over here and tell him. And you know what? Nobody came to tell Dr. because they knew if they had and they hit that table, the rest of us would have taken him down. Doctor was a wonderful man. He had a lot of people live at his home. He lived at the School for the Blind until he graduated from college. And so he and his wife, Lily, took in a lot of the kids who were going to school and didn't have much money. They very often lived with him at his home. And he loved people. He loved students, and he loved to play chess. And when I came out here from Missouri, I saw blind people here do some unusual things, but I never had seen people sit at the table with no chessboard and play chess. And Doctor would get his boys in there, and he had to be quiet because he would decide maybe they were going to have a game, and they'd sit there and they'd play chess. And to this day, I don't know how they did it, but they did. And you know what? They all seemed to know what they were doing. I think that we had the idea of when the lady touched on the formation today, the formation of an organization. There were 13 sighted people and 16 blind people. And Mrs. Michael was the head of the Social Welfare Department Division for the Blind. And she had gotten this thing together, and she thought they'd have a sighted group and that we'd have some blind people on there with some input. So they all gathered, and of course, Doctor for 10 years had been going up and down the state organizing all you county clubs, and they were there. They had representatives. So Mrs. Michael said, well, as chair, she thought she would appoint a nominating committee, and they would, at the next meeting, select offices. Officers. And a young man named Jacobus Tenbrook, Chick Tenbrook, we called him Chick, was there from the Berkeley University, and he made a motion that they have the election right then and have a standing vote. And of course it passed. And a gentleman who was there at that meeting was Perry Sundquist. And 7 years later, he had that woman's job as chief of the social services for the blind, and he was there for 20 years. And he was considered the legislative arm, I mean the administrative arm of the council, because we had passed so many laws pertaining to aid for the blind, and he saw to it that they were implemented. Anyway, we had two lawyers who were Raymond Henderson, and he was from Bakersfield, and Leslie Klinghide, who's from Modesto. And those two gentlemen helped draft a lot of the legislation that Ernest Crowley, who was a blind man from Sassoon, Fairfield, he was in the legislature as a blind legislator from 1928 to 1954 when he passed away. He was our legislative arm. The other two gentlemen were our legal arm. And those people had done enough so that at the end of 1969, Doctor was able to prepare a two-volume book. The first volume, which is about the size of the Ziegler or a good-sized magazine, Braille magazine. It was full of laws pertaining to aid for the blind. The second one was full of rehabilitation. And what I would like for each of you and your presidents to go back to is go back to your chapters and encourage them to go get to know your legislators. It's not hard. Just go and let them know that you're there. Talk to them. Let them know, because, you know, we've got something. People say, well, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of this and that. You know what we've got? We've got votes. And we should use them. And we should know what's going on and how it affects the blind, because we have lost so much of what we had. We had shops for the blind that employed 600 people. 450 of them were blind because the Wagner-O'Day law said that 75% had to be blind, 25 had to be otherwise handicapped. Well, there were 600 people employed in San Diego, Oakland, and Los Angeles. During the Reagan administration, it was transferred to private industry. Without subsidy, it went down, and we lost it. And you know, very few of those 600 people ever found other jobs. So, which brings me to another thing. We were very, very busy working for vendors. We have always supported the vendors. Do we have any vendors here this evening? Yay! Well, we supported you then, and we support you now. Ernest Crowley, in 1943, one of the laws he got enacted was called the Crowley Act. He got that so that we could have state, county, and other vending facilities in this state. They started the Randolph Shepherd vendors in 1936, and 43, he made it a good thing here in California. I think one of the best stories about this blind legislator, it's my favorite, is he was in a committee meeting in Sacramento, and they liked him a lot. They said he listened to people, and he got along real well, and of course he was blind. So they had a terrible storm in Sacramento, and the electricity went out. And here is this legislative committee sitting in there trying to deliberate, and there's no light. And they couldn't tell what was going on, and so one of them said, Ernie, get up and get us the hell out of here. You're used to this stuff. So we don't have to worry when the light goes out because we know what we're doing all the time. He really had a wonderful following, and I have some notes that George Fogarty left, and he said that at Ernest Crowley's funeral, that the church was overflowing in Sassoon, and the priest gave a wonderful eulogy, but he said how much Ernest had helped fight for the people in his city, his county there, particularly the disadvantaged workers, and he never made a reference to the fact that Ernie had been helping the blind for all those 24 years, because in Sassoon they loved him and they didn't even think of him as a blind person. He was just one of their citizens. Okay, somebody else needs to be on the panel. Let's see. We know that someone's here from San Diego. How far north is someone here? Are the Roberts here from Chico? Are you here? We need to have you tell us your names and how your chapter's doing.
I think I'll defer to my wife on this one. This is Don Roberts speaking, and our chapter is struggling a bit because not too many young folks are coming in, and also there are some of the leaders are in ill health, so it's kind of a problem. But we're still there.
And what is your wife's name?
Peggy.
What is it? Peggy. Well, I have greetings from one of your members to bring to this body, and I'm pretty proud of this one. Vera, I can't think of her last name this minute. What is it? Yeah, Vera Sure. I've only known her for 50 years. Vera sends us greetings. She attended their last chapter meeting, and she called me to visit the other day. And you know what? She went to a meeting 2 weeks ago, and that lady on November 8th will be 94 years old. I think she may be our oldest member right now. I'm not sure, but I think so. Anyway, I love talking to her. She calls me a kid, and boy, that sounds good to me. So we know we have someone from Eureka. Is there anyone here from Santa Rosa? Can we take the mic to that? Who's here from Santa Rosa?
Beryl Brown.
Hello, Beryl. How are you?
I'm fine, Kathy. How are you doing?
Lucia Heinzel from Santa Rosa.
Beryl, how many members do you have now? 48. That's pretty good.
Diane Deutsch from Tehachapi. I'm a member of both councils.
You're a member of which council? Oh, well, that's great.
Bakersfield and Santa Rosa.
Wonderful to have you here. One of the things that we did when Doctor was forming his chapters, it was necessary to have members, and there weren't always a lot of them. So you would find people belonging to four chapters. So for a long time, if you ask us how many members we had, you got the members that we had in every chapter, even if one of us was in four of them. So when we came in to fix the constitutions, we kind of remedied that. Do we have anyone here from San Francisco?
Yes.
Yours was one of the first. You had an Association of the Blind present in 1934, and you had the San Francisco County Club in 1934. And in 1934, Dorothy Glass was elected at that opening meeting, that founding meeting, as a blind businesswoman. She had a beauty operator, beautician. She ran a beauty shop. Later, she ran the Dorothy Glass Answering Service in San Francisco at 1010 Franklin. She was there for years. She had 18 employees, and she could handle anything in that room that had to be taken care of in that facility. She also did some fundraising for us, and fundraisers, give this a thought. She used to go to unions and talk to them and raise money for the council, and she did a whopping good job. No wonder she was one of Doctor's favorites. She really was outstanding. She lived to the ripe old age of 91 or 2. And she was with us every day, or every time she could be. One person who, when we left the California Council of the Blind, the first two people to be presidents in the Associated Blind of California, which was the first American Council group, was Juliet Bent Esterly and myself. We were in there a combination for 12 years. I don't know what it said about us, because I don't think after that they had any more women presidents. But anyway, in California Council, the two people who were presidents in both organizations were Robert Campbell and myself. Bob Campbell was the president of this council from 53 to 59. He was president for a while in ACBC by then. It was the American Council of the Blind of California by then. And I, of course, was president of ABC, the Associated Blind of California. And then I was president here. Of course, you may not have heard this before, but I like it so well, I'm going to tell it again. When I was going representing the Associated Blind doing what Frank does now in Sacramento, I was new. I was from Missouri, and I hadn't been here a long time, and I didn't understand what all the letters meant. So our initials for Associated Blind of California were ABC. Well, I didn't know what alcohol beverage control was. I never heard of it. So I went into this, and they were telling me, now, don't worry. If you can't get seeing somebody right away, don't be upset. Well, I took my trusty little card, you leave cards for these people. And I went in there, and I marched into this lady's office, and she said, good afternoon, may I help you? And I said, yes, I'm Catherine Skivers, and I'm with ABC. Boy, I got issued right in to see the man. You know, there was no problem. And I didn't even know what I'd done. So he said to me, you're with ABC? And I said, yes, here's my card. And I think we were both in for a surprise, because he saw my card and I explained to him what that was, and he told me what ABC was. I hope that this has been something that you've enjoyed, but I would like to ask this question. We're getting ready to go here. How many of you in your chapters have a copy of the California Council of Blind Constitution? Yeah. How many of you have shared it with your members? I would suggest that in your president's meeting, you work on getting a copy for everybody. I think it's essential that we immediately alert our members to what we are, who we are, what we do. I told you earlier we lost some things. Once again, they're taking a shot at the vending program. There was a time when we had, in this country, when Tony Septinelli was working with the vendors, 3,265 vending stands in the country, vending locations. Of those, 225 were in California. We had almost 10% of them. Now we have about 150 or 60, and somebody, some nasty whatever, out there in Washington, D.C., they're once again an organization assaulting our vending program. People, we cannot lose another simple way for blind people to make money. We have to fight for that program. We can only do it if you go home and you teach your people what we're all about. I hope this hasn't been too bad a panel. I thank you all for coming out. You're dear to me. I love you all. And if I don't let you go to the meeting, the president's not going to love me. So I think we are adjourned. Thank you.